Yeah, so thank you so much. First thing I want to do is I think we've got a discussion question. So I'm actually going to make you talk. I know, horrible. Have you ever said something you probably shouldn't have? What happened? Have a quick conversation. I hope that everyone here has been able to share something that at some point that they've said something they haven't. I hope we've been all been a bit honest. If you haven't, if you think that you've never said anything wrong, strap in. This one's going to be a bumpy one for you. But it is true. We do say things. We slip up. Today. I'm going to look at the power of the tongue. And when the themes of our series of Proverbs were shared amongst the teaching team, one word stuck out to me, and that was tongue. Not because it immediately meant much to me, but it actually was the fact that I know our minister Matt can't pronounce it properly. And it's the third time I've got to say that joke today, and I've really enjoyed it. The fact is, you know, I couldn't actually let you go through that. You know, he says tongue like he's like serving up salad, and today we won't be sharing lettuce, but we will be sharing the word from Proverbs and see what Proverbs has to say about the tongue in a proper southern pronunciation, of course. All other pronunciations are loved and accepted, of course. How many of us know the rhyme, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me"? It's really well-intentioned, isn't it? The idea that we have the power to ignore words, that they don't actually really matter. It was taught to us with the best interests, with the best of intentions, meant to build resilience and to shield us from the name-calling as we were growing up. But as we grow into adults, we really have to admit something. That rhyme is a complete lie, and we all know it. A broken bone heals in 6 weeks with a plaster cast. A cruel word spoken by someone you trust can remain in your memory for life. Words absolutely do hurt us. But we can act as if they don't. You know, we're drowning in words. There are more words in our life today than ever before in history. Generally, we can talk, we can read, we spend time online, we are contactable through words 24/7. Think for a moment about how many words you've already produced today. From the moment you woke up, you've been using them. Perhaps you spoke to your family over breakfast this morning, or you've talked to friends at the welcome team here. We've even used words to praise God in song. Maybe you've fired off text messages. Maybe you have sent emails, written statuses, searched online, shared links. You know, linguists estimate that we use between 15,000 to 16,000 words every single day. And I know some people who use a lot more than that. But in our modern world, we have to recognize something more. Our fingers and thumbs have become our tongues too. The things we type, the comments we post, anything we share, all of this falls under what the Bible calls the tongue. There are so many words in our lives, so we tend to treat them like cheap currency. Can I just have my slide up, please? Perfect, thank you. We tend to treat them like cheap currency. We throw them around. A screen as well makes us feel a little bit more detached, so we send off a quick reply online when we feel misunderstood. Even with our mouths, we can share gossip, sometimes even disguising it as a prayer request. We share anger because it feels good in the moment, and without thinking, we fall back on that lie that words will never hurt. But the book of Proverbs, a book in the Bible which gives clear wisdom on how to live a good life well, completely rejects the idea that talk is cheap. In fact, if you read through Proverbs, you will find that God treats our vocabulary, whether it's spoken or typed, he treats it like explosives. Words have huge dynamite power. Today, we're going to continue our series on Proverbs to understand what God says about our speech. We're going to look at three main ideas: the power of our words, the content of our words, and the delivery of our words, the art of restraint. And whether it is about what we say, how we say it, we're going to look at one core truth. Your words are never neutral. Every time we open our mouths or hit send or share, we are either building something up or we are tearing something down. I want us to hold a mirror up to our mouths and keyboards today. Let's look at what Proverbs reveals about the true weight of the words that we use. The first thing Proverbs teaches us is the sheer devastating impact of our speech. Listen to Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Notice that it doesn't say annoyance and encouragement are in the power of the tongue, or frustration and contentment are in the power of the tongue. It uses the absolute extremes of what it is to be a human being: life and death. Because words are so powerful. We see this on a practical level every single day. Inevitably, I think about a classroom situation as a teacher, and I think about when I'm marking books, for example. If I'm overly critical with a piece of feedback written on an essay in red pen, it can damage a student's academic confidence for their entire career. But the consequences of our words can go far deeper than even that. When Proverbs speaks of death, it's not just speaking metaphorically. In our digital age, this power is amplified because our online words are permanent. A cruel comment whispered in a corridor is a horrible moment in time. A cruel comment typed in a WhatsApp chat can be screenshotted and kept forever. A national bullying survey conducted by the Core and Family Lives found that 39% of young people who reported being bullied had self-harmed, and 40% had experienced thoughts of suicide. 40%. The words spoken in school corridors, the messages typed on social media, the rumours shared online, they are literally pushing our young people to the brink of death. That is the devastating physical reality of the consequences of the tongue. Last week, I was helping coordinate a youth group volunteer project in a Roma community in Transylvania, Romania. And during this time, I had the privilege, the absolute privilege, of meeting two beautiful people, Dana and Gusti. And here they are with a really dodgy looking bloke. Now, Gusti is a follower of Jesus, and he has shared his faith all over Europe. And some time ago, Gusti was speaking in a church in Greece. The words he was speaking were bringing life to so many people. Lots of people were turning to Jesus, and the local gang leader was losing his customers because people were getting saved, they were getting clean, and they were walking away from crime and drugs. One day, during one of Gusti's teachings, right in the middle of the service, that local gang leader walked into the church, and he came with a gun. He blamed Gusti for his lost profits, and he came to bring death. But Gusti looked at this man with a weapon, and using the power of the tongue, Gusti simply said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, stop there." And that gang leader collapsed to the ground. Proverbs 12:18 says, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." The man with a gun, much like a playground bully or the cruel keyboard warrior hiding behind a screen, came to pierce like a sword. But Gusti's words brought healing. They brought life. If we look at this proverb, the word that we need to be focused on is reckless. That unthinking response, that moment in time where you just say or type something, that's reckless. And I'd like to pose this question for about 30 seconds of silent, don't worry, you don't need to talk, silent reflection. In your daily life, are your words swinging like a wild sword, or are they bringing life? When we speak, type, or share, we can't just think about the power of our words. We have to think about what they actually are, the content of our words. Proverbs makes it wonderfully clear. We are called to speak the truth, and we must absolutely reject deceit, reject lying. Proverbs 21:6 tells us, "A fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare." Let's go back to Gusti in Greece. A few moments after the gang leader collapsed in the church, he woke up. He demanded to know what had happened to him. And then he demanded Gusti to come to his home later that day and explain what had happened. Everyone at the church was terrified. Of course they were. You're not going to go along to this gang leader who'd been known for all this crime, this violence. The congregation begged Gusti not to go. Human logic dictated you don't go anywhere near it, or if you do have to go, that you just go there and you flatter this guy. You make him feel good about himself. Just do anything to stay alive. But Gusti went, and he didn't flatter the man. He simply explained the beautiful truth of Jesus Christ, the love that Jesus has for each of us. Right there in his own home, the gang leader gave his life to Jesus. Immediately, the man offered Gusti a very large sum of money made from selling drugs. But Gusti refused it. He lived out Proverbs 21:6. He refused to accept fortune associated with death and deceit. When I was talking to Dana, Gusti's wife, about this, I said, did you tell Gusti off? For going, you know, if my wife went and did that, I'd probably be a little bit annoyed. You know, did you tell him off for going to that house? Weren't you furious that he risked his life? And I'll never forget her response. She said, "Of course not. If we are to die by speaking the truth of Jesus, then we are to die." That's what it looks like to believe Proverbs 12:19. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. How often do we find ourselves wanting to say what others want us to say because we want to be liked? How often do we say things that society wants us to say, regardless of whether the Bible might be saying the opposite? Truth through Jesus is the only way to enjoy eternity with God. Jesus is even himself called truth. And this truth is forever. Dana and Gusti knows that they know that truth outlasts. It outlasts what people think of us. It outlasts the current societal craze or the political attitude that's à la mode. For Gusti, the truth even outlasted a gun. What about us? Do our hearts completely understand that the truth outlasts? You know, we know that words have power. We now know that we must speak the truth. But Proverbs adds a third and vital layer, the art of restraint. I teach a unit at school to my students called the art of rhetoric, the ancient skill of being able to get your point across and get other people to agree with whatever you're saying. But I genuinely believe that the real art is knowing when you have said enough or not to even say anything at all. I'm sure right now for each of us, someone has just cropped up in your mind that you would really like for them to learn this art of restraint. I know my wife has just thought of me. And for those of you who also thought of me, I'm sorry, I'll speed this up right now. And for those of you who couldn't think of anyone, how do I break it to you? You're probably the one speaking more than 16,000 words a day. But listen to Proverbs 15, verse 2. "The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly." I cannot think of a better description of the internet than gushing folly or foolishness. We live in a culture that rewards oversharing. The algorithms are built to promote outrage. If a thought crosses our mind, our culture tells us that we have a right, even a duty, to broadcast it immediately. And we see this constantly in our everyday lives. It's the excuse of saying, well, I'm just speaking my mind, or, well, I tell it like it is, to justify being brutally blunt to a family member over the dinner table. It's gossiping at work, happily dissecting a colleague's reputation over a cup of coffee just to join in. It's the snapping at the teenager behind the supermarket till because we're in a rush and annoyed. It's walking through the front door and immediately unloading all the stress of the workday onto our spouse, treating them as an emotional dumping ground. But Proverbs says the fool just pours it out. And this lack of restraint is even bigger online. The screen acts as this false shield, and we completely strip away our empathy. We type things on a keyboard that we would never have the audacity to say to somebody's face. We jump into comment sections to correct strangers. We share memes that mock politicians that we don't personally like. We forward articles that we haven't even read just because the headline validates our anger. But look at Proverbs 21:23. Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. When that gang leader walked into the church, Gusty had every reason to let his emotions take complete control of his tongue. But he didn't shout. He exercised supernatural restraint, only given to him through the Holy Spirit, and certainly not by his own power. In the name of Jesus Christ, stop there. Think about the contrast. Gusty faced a loaded gun and had the restraint to speak calmly. We face someone who disagrees with us politically and we can completely lose our minds. Proverbs says that the true wisdom is the ability to keep some things to ourselves. Proverbs 25:15 says a gentle tongue can break a bone. In human relationships, gentleness carries far more persuasive power than shouting and much, much more power than writing in all capital letters. You may recognize yourself in what we are looking at here. Perhaps you're one of us who reacts verbally without holding back. You might bite at a spouse or a co-worker or a friend when they frustrate or anger you. What can we do? Well, quite simply, follow the advice of Proverbs. Hold back where you do not actually need to say anything. Wait for the emotions to subside to ensure a more gentle approach when a friend gets something spectacularly wrong. When you see a post that makes your blood pressure spike, try scrolling past it. When you feel the urge to add your opinion to a crowded online debate, recognize that your silence might actually be wisdom. When you type out that frustrated email, perhaps leave it in your drafts folder overnight. When Jesus faced continuous false accusations, Jesus chose to stay silent. In Matthew 27:12-14, it states that when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Jesus doesn't even defend himself. Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge. When sent to King Herod, Herod plies him with questions, but Jesus gives him no answer. Jesus knew that engaging with a mob intent on misunderstanding was pointless. I'm not saying that every situation that we have to keep quiet. Jesus obviously didn't always stay quiet. The book of Proverbs, though, requires us to be alert when this might be the best option. When saying something would cause a worse reaction, or you're saying something based purely on your own emotions. There are times where we need to guard our mouths, guard our thumbs, guard our tongues in order to guard ourselves from trouble. You'll be glad to hear that I'm coming close to the end now, and I'll ask the band to come up. And if we were to stop right here, all I've done is given you a seminar on behaviour change. I've essentially just told you to try harder, talk better, share less. But the Bible goes much deeper than behavior. Proverbs 16:1 says, To humans belongs the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. Centuries later, Jesus would summarize this entire theology in one incredibly devastating sentence. A mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Our tongues and keyboards are just a bucket drawing water from the wells of our hearts. You cannot fix a bitter tongue without fixing a bitter heart. The tongue merely reveals what the heart is treasuring. The reality of human history is that the tongue has been used to commit the greatest atrocity the world has ever seen. For those of you who might not know the story, at the end of Jesus' life, he was arrested and put on trial before the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. Pilate examined Jesus and found absolutely no fault in him. He was innocent. Pilate wanted to let him go. So he stood before the masses and offered to release Jesus. But the religious leaders had whipped the crowd into a frenzy. They stirred up a furious mob, and the crowd used their tongues. They opened their mouths and they began to chant, "Crucify him, crucify him." And many of those people in the crowd were likely to be the exact same people who just a few days earlier on Palm Sunday used their tongues to shout Hosanna and praise God. But now, caught up in the outrage of the mob, they used those same mouths to demand the execution of the Son of God. The terrifying reality of our speech is this. With the tongue, we either glorify or we crucify. There's no middle ground. Every day, with every conversation and every comment typed online, we are either glorifying God and bringing life, or we are joining the mob and bringing destruction. And we've all failed this test. No one here can say that they haven't. We've all spoken death. We've all lost our restraint. But this is why the gospel is such phenomenally good news. When Jesus stood before that crowd, listening to them using their tongues to crucify him, what did he do? In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah tells us that he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He exercised perfect restraint. He went to the cross, and even as he hung there dying, he used his tongue to gently say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He died to pay for the sins of our careless and reckless words, our angry online posts, and our deceitful flattery when we just want people to like us. And then he rose again to offer us new hearts, the new wells for our tongues and keyboards to draw from. As we prepare to leave today, I want to leave you with three questions to test the overflow of your own heart. Three takeaways to ask yourself before you speak, before you type, and before you hit that share button. What filter do you have when you speak to people or share things online? We're a world absolutely obsessed with putting filters on our photographs, but is the ultimate filter for your tongue Jesus? Does your speech look like his? Is what you are saying joining the voice of the angry crowd that sent Jesus to his death? Or is it glorifying his name? It's so easy to get swept up in the outrage of the mob, especially online. When everyone else is shouting and condemning, whose voice are you blending into? Are you glorifying or are you crucifying? And does what you want to say actually need to be said? We have seen today that words carry immense weight. Sometimes the most powerful, Jesus-like and wise thing you can do is simply hold your peace. Silence really is golden sometimes. You cannot tame the tongue on your own. Only Jesus can give you a new heart. As we go out into our homes, our workplaces, and our online spaces this week, let this be our prayer. Lord, forgive us for the damage our words have caused. Give us new hearts that treasure your grace. And out of the overflow of those new hearts that you provide, let our tongues be instruments of life, truth, and healing. To the glory of God. Amen.